It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
That's right, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer, back with you on WBEN on You Could Have Fooled Me, Joe, with the warmest morning of the week.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to do like, what is it, like a social media thing? Is it like an Instagram thing, like picture a day of just like how ridiculous I look?
Yes.
Like every morning you walk in here?
I think we should do that.
And just... like
for at least the next 30 days.
Just picture a day with the filter that has like the outside temperature. Right? It's like, here's what I look like when it's
70 degrees.
I got my like hood up. I probably look ridiculous too.
Well, the good thing is you didn't have to go fetching your winter stuff when winter comes along because you've had it out.
Yes,
we're all there. Year.
We got it. All right, Joe, I'm still laughing yesterday. I think maybe it's the funniest thing from this program ever. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I've been constantly thinking about you trying to sound proper, and the only thing you come up with was, yes. Joe's go-to sounding, hey, Joe, can you sound like you have a lot of manners?
Yes. When I was cutting the show up to post it, I started cracking up. I was like, yeah, that really did sound ridiculous.
I was laughing like yesterday. That's probably the funniest thing we've ever done on the show. But anyways, 803-0930 to join us throughout the morning here on WBEN, 803-0930. Joe, I want to be very careful because we were talking etiquette yesterday.
Yes.
And then something happened to me that was like anti-etiquette. And I want to be very careful with my words here.
Uh-oh.
Because this person may be listening.
Oh.
Because I don't know who this person is. They very may well be in this building right now.
Okay. Listening.
Somebody who uses the public bathroom around here.
That's right. We don't have our own bathroom here.
Somebody there goes into the stall. I'm assuming they're going, sitting down. And is watching videos or something on their phone with the volume on for the entire bathroom to hear. And now, if this was the first time, I wouldn't bring this up. But this is now like multiple. There could be multiple people because I don't know. I'm not like keeping track of their shoes.
Or it could be the same video watcher.
It could be this. I'm kind of leaning on it's the same person.
Okay.
But it's not the first time. That's why I bring this up, that this happened, where you go into the bathroom, or sometimes I've already been in the bathroom, and somebody is in there or comes in, pulls out their phone, and starts watching things with the volume out, full blast. And then... this is 2 days in a row now, because the day before there was somebody in there having a conversation on the phone, which I know it's been talked about here before, you know, the Bluetooth headset in the bathroom, like people have seen that before, like they're talking, you think they're talking to you.
Well, they've heard it before. Yeah.
They were on speakerphone.
Well, see,
in the bathroom.
So you heard
both
sides.
I immediately flushed. And I'm just like, it's just like a new level of, we were talking etiquette yesterday, but my question, Joe, for you is, which is worse?
Okay.
The person talking on the phone out loud, even on speakerphone, while in the public bathroom, or somebody watching video with the sound on for everybody to hear in the bathroom?
The phone call on speaker. That is, in my opinion, that's worse. You got someone shouting on the speaker. You got someone shouting back. I don't need to hear your whole conversation. It's kind of weird, especially, you know, you're in the stall. We know what you're doing in there, and you thought this was the appropriate time to conduct a phone call. The video thing, because, Brian, in the confines of my own home, I will sit on the toilet and watch a video. I mean, I think it still, I get weird when I hear any kind of audio coming out of a stall. But, you know, the phone call... I think that is worse in my opinion.
I disagree. All right. The phone call is gross. It's weird to me to be having that conversation with somebody. But at the end of the day, like, people do talk to people in the bathroom. If face to face, somebody's walking in, people will talk with you.
Not
like if you know
stall,
somebody.
Though.
What?
Not stall to stall.
No. Right. Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
But like
hey, is that you in there?
It has happened before. I mean, it's not that I think it's like a good thing to do or anything.
Right.
I do think it
I
is,
what you're
you know.
Saying.
I think by far the worst thing to do is the watching, and this is bad anywhere in public. If you're anywhere in public and you have your phone on and you're listening to, even if you're listening to us, thank you for listening to us. But if you're doing so out in public, like if you're on the bus right now and you have us full volume on your phone or on a Bluetooth speaker for everybody else to hear.
Get some headphones.
Yeah, get some headphones or don't turn the volume on. But it's the worst in the bathroom. In a public bathroom where you are consciously being like, you know what? I'm going to be here for some time. Time enough to watch a video on my phone. I'm
setting up shop?
Yes. I'm trying to get in and out as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in here.
Well, you have people that like spending time in the bathroom.
I apparently.
You know, the joke around the office. Hey, that's so-and-so's office.
So, I'm listening to whatever this person's watching, and I'm like, it's weird. People who walk in here don't want to be listening to what you're watching. And, you know, I really never thought I'd be the one saying this, but like, it's like vulgar sometimes. You know, we got some, you know, F-bombs and everything else dropping on this video.
And this is the guy's office building.
You could be walking in, you don't know who's walking through that bathroom door.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bleep this, bleep that, and everything else. It's just like, what? I hope this person's listening. Because we hear you, and it's insane.
I hope they'll call in or walk down the hall. You know, but Brian, I've probably been guilty of, you know, perusing my phone in the bathroom and clicking on something that had audio. So, again, I agree with what you're saying. And I try to do any kind of phone on the toilet thing at home, not here. Because like you, I don't want to spend a lot of time in the bathroom. I want to do my business and get out. But I still think it's the phone call. And that in the bathroom is gross, okay? But that is also everywhere. You know, people on speakerphone while you're in a public place. I can't tell you the amount of times you're at a grocery store or something and there's someone screaming on their speakerphone. And it's like, could you wait? Could this phone call wait until after? Could this wait until you're in the car? Or get some, you know, even that's bad because I don't want you yelling. Like, no one talks quietly on their phone anymore. Have you noticed that? It's all yelling. Anytime I see someone on their phone in public.
Oh, I talk quietly on the phone.
You
all
do.
The time.
I think you're the exception. Because people that I
see, yelled at for it.
People I see on their phone, on speakerphone in public, they're yelling. They're at the gym. They're at the grocery store. And it's like, I don't need to hear your conversation, right? And if I can hear you over my music, as you know, at this grocery store or at the gym, I can't imagine if I was walking with nothing in my ears what that would sound like.
Yeah, I don't. For some reason, it doesn't bother me as much because I just kind of think of it now. Like, the phones have become so ubiquitous everywhere where at one time you probably had in doctor's offices all over the place, people would see like the, hey, like keep off your cell phones, like, you know, or like cell phone calls anywhere was just like frowned upon and whatever. Now, if I see it at the grocery store, which, you know, one of the examples, like it's strange to me to carry on the only phone call conversation I'm having in the grocery store is probably like calling back home, like, hey, do we have this or something?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's one of those which happens sometimes frequently. If you're just having like a regular conversation with somebody going through, like, to me, it's strange. Like, it's just not something I would do. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me that much because people are just having conversations. I look at it almost the same as just two people having a conversation somewhere because that's at the end of the day what it is. But if you're walking through the grocery store and you have some, like, you know, Ren and Stimpy, like, playing full volume on your phone, which is what I see. Like, that to me is,
Ugh. Now, I got something that I think is worse. Now, and you tell me from your perspective. I was out to dinner at a fancy restaurant Friday celebrating my parents' birthday. I actually thought today was my mom's birthday. I almost sent her happy birthday and then remembered it's tomorrow. And the table behind us, you know, there's a family of four, and the kid was watching their tablet at the table, and the volume was so loud on the tablet, I could hear it over the conversation we were having. And Brian, you know my family. We're not quiet people.
Yes.
I could hear the volume of the tablet over my family's discussion.
Maybe they were sending you a message.
Yeah. But it's like, hey, when I was a kid, I wish I had something like that. But still, you know, the tablet set up, not holding it, set up on the table, watching a video.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no.
I, as a parent of a toddler, and we do go out to eat all together, you know, not like all the time, but we do go out to eat. I don't like that. We are... I understand it, is what I want to say right now. I understand where parents are coming from. You're in a restaurant. This is maybe going to be less of a distraction to people who are at tables around you than it would be if they were going crazy or something like that or talking. However, I also feel like there are other ways to have your child well-behaved at a table while you're at a restaurant rather than plopping a TV screen in front of them. And Joe, this is, it's, I think, worse what you said, volume on, but this goes volume on or off.
Yeah.
A phone or a tab. I kind of do like the cringe when I see people just... Here you go, at a restaurant. It's every time I see people with kids out there, at a restaurant with kids, here you go, here, plop them in front of the phone, you bring an iPad, something like that, just sit there, zone out while we eat our dinner here. I always go, I don't like it. We don't do it.
How do you feel about this? The kid with the tablet, at least in elementary school. We had a toddler at our table, no screen in front of him. He had a rubber duck to play with.
So now that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying, right, that kids don't have anything. Like, the kids' menus that you can draw on at restaurants exist for a reason.
Exactly.
Like, just sitting there and talking is not going to keep a toddler's attention. I know, we have one.
Yeah.
You do bring stuff. Like, right. We have, like, a little book that they can kind of draw in. There's, you know, a little fire truck that doesn't make any noise or something like that. Just something to, you know, keep their brain a little occupied. Usually, the placemat that they give you at the restaurant is enough for that. But that's enough. Like, that's... all you kind of need in that situation. You don't need to just be like, I mean, at that point, leave the kid at home. At the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to say.
As a non-parent, that's how I look at it. But that's why I wanted your perspective.
I cringe every time I see it. I don't really like it. We are also like, you will not find myself or my wife handing our phone or an iPad. It's not that he doesn't get them from other places and know how to use them.
Right.
But you will not find one of us giving a device to our kid pretty much ever, because it is one of those things I feel like once you start that...
you can't get away from it.
It's very hard to get away from it. Mike in West Seneca, you're on WBEN, 803-0930, by the way, to weigh in on this. Yep. All right, Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm like you. I don't like when you walk in a bathroom and hear someone giving their life story. I drive truck and I go to Indianapolis and back. And a lot of times, and this was probably worse up north when I ran the Chicago route, but you walk in a bathroom and the guy's giving a story between making some god-awful noises. And what I would do, I'd walk out and I'd slide my hand under the jet dryer and leave.
I like that. My question for you, as a truck driver, I would have to imagine that's extra annoying, Mike, because, you know, isn't that what the time on the road kind of is? Like, you have some time to have a conversation while you're behind the wheel.
I suppose you would think. I don't know. I don't think talking on the toilet is really something anyone should do.
I would agree, especially in public. Mike, thank you.
How would you feel if someone said, hey, yeah, it's so-and-so calling you from the toilet? No, here.
See, now, here's the thing. Like, there are people in your life who you can do that with.
Yes.
I think everybody should have some people in their life who they can do that with. Significant others. Close relatives. Close friends.
Yeah.
Where you could do that and it's not like a gross out thing. It's like that's just the level of comfort that you're in. But those people you could probably count on one hand.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need all the fingers.
No.
You could. Those people are few and far between. I'm getting the sense that when I'm hearing some of the conversations going on, they're not having a conversation with one of those people.
No.
Like, I've heard sales calls in the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
And, like, is that like the celebratory bell when you close the deal?
But that's another thing. What if you are on a call with someone that's not in that on that close list, and they hear the toilet flush in the background? I have to imagine that takes something away from the person on the other end. Like, wait a minute. Was that the toilet flushing? No. I'm just watering my plants.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. But anyways, I'm glad you brought up the dinner table thing, because that's I really try and we try our best. No phones at the table at home.
Right.
And we're not. You know, you go out to a restaurant. Yeah. I trust me. I get it. Like a 2.5-year-old, they get antsy. at the table, but there's something about just like here, boom, like that's just not the kind of. I feel like you want the end goal to be, because that's not really solving the situation.
Right.
Like that person is now going to be an antsy 16-year-old at a dinner table.
Yes, yes.
Like the end, what you're trying to do is to get them to behave at the table on their own, like to understand that that's the behavior you have, not I'm just sitting nicely, somewhat quietly at a table only because, you know, whatever, Bluey is on in front of me.
You know what you bring? You bring when I was a kid, because we went to Friendly's a lot and we went to Cracker Barrel a lot, and you bring the game from Friendly's and Cracker Barrel and you put that in front of the kid, in front of your kid. There you go. It's not bothering anyone. They're learning a skill.
You had the crayons with the maze.
Yep.
The word search. That was it.
What was the name of that game? With the tees, the golf tees that you try to get his little.
Oh, those things. Yeah.
I love that game.
I've got a couple of them upstairs.
Yeah. I was
just a few different ones.
I was so happy when Cracker Barrel brought that back after the pandemic.
the little, you know, puzzle toys, right?
Yeah.
To be able to do. Like, all right, that's fine. It's just. I don't know. There's something about it that bugs me every time I see it. Just like kids zoning out, TV at the table. Yeah. I mean, I get distracted. I'll admit, like if I'm at a restaurant, I like going to places without TVs. If me and my wife are going out for dinner, because like it's just my eye is drawn to it.
Yeah.
Like I can't. I don't. 10 times out of 10, I do not care what's on TV, but it's just, it's there. It's a huge, bright, it's why I don't want a huge jumbotron at the arena.
Right.
Because it's, your eye is attracted to it. It's,
yes.
You can't help yourself but to watch the screen, and when they put that big jumbotron in one day, I'm going to end up watching the screen more than I'm watching what's actually going on in front of me. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to turn your head away from that.
Like, Brian, you keep on looking at the screen. That's a replay of the 2005 Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Like, I know. I can't help myself. This is what I'm doing.
Bad joke. There wasn't a 2005 Stanley Cup. 2006. Sorry. I didn't want to be fact-checked on the text board.
Everyone was in on it. BMaz and Beamer. We'll be right back after the news on WBEN.
It's BMaz and Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer, back with you on WBEN. We started talking about the tablet at the table when you're going out to eat, and somebody texts it in. And listen, I mean, to each their own, I don't want to, like, hammer over the head of, you know, parents who are doing whatever at the dinner table out to eat. But I always cringe a little bit when I think I am like a, I don't know, I'm, and this will play into what we're talking about next, but I am kind of a little old school in the way of when me and my son go anywhere. Like, I don't really take a whole lot of stuff with me. And sometimes they'll catch you, you know, unprepared. But I'm not, you know, still when we're going out, my wife, we'll leave the house. Sometimes she'll be like, oh, we don't have the diaper bag. Or, you know, like, oh, should we leave the diaper bag here? Like, not bring it into the store? I'm like, yeah, what? I mean, you know, what's going to happen if we don't, you know, pack up going into Target or something? Like, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? We take them out to the car and figure out the rest. But I'm like a pack light person. You don't really need a whole bunch of stuff. And you don't need a whole bunch of things to keep the kid entertained. Somebody chimed in, and again, like, to each their own, I don't want to criticize, but they said, you know, for your 2.5-year-old, when you go to a restaurant, you need to take a bag that has new toys and different things for the kids to do to keep them occupied. And I just want to respond to that, like, no, I don't. Like, I just think about when I was growing up.
Right.
And you know what I had when we went to the restaurant? I had the fork and the spoon that was in front of me.
That's right.
And like, and a cup of water. And I got to chew on the ice. Like, that's what kept you entertained. Like, I didn't need, like, a whole bunch of other things. Now, I don't remember when I was 2.5. Who knows? Maybe they had, like, a whole bounce house they brought out to the restaurant for me to run around in. I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I just remember from my childhood, like, it was never, my parents never said this to me. But it was just kind of my understanding. It was the, it didn't need to be said. You know what you do when you go out in public? You go to a restaurant. You go anywhere, you know, when your parents have to take you to work, you're going with them to sit, you know, they have a doctor's appointment, anything. You know what the rule of thumb was? It was never said out loud. It's just a mutual understanding. Sit down and shut up. Like, I mean, that's just, it's how you're supposed to do it. Like, it wasn't, here, sit down, and to keep you occupied, here's all this. Like, no, sit down, and maybe they got a Sports Illustrated you can look through on the table at the doctor's office or something like that.
Yeah. See, you didn't have to be told that. My dad, I think, had to say that to me. You might find this hard to believe. It was not easy for me as a child to stay quiet. And sometimes, not just yelling things, but, you know, taking my fork and hitting it on the table or trying to make, you know... Yeah, my father a lot of times had to say, could you just sit down and be quiet, please? Sit down and be quiet. And then, you know, other words might get added as the night goes on.
But that was like the understanding,
right?
Right? Yeah. To an extent. And I'm that type of person. We go out somewhere, and I still think this. Your kid needs, you know, if your kid needs a million things at the table, or like the TV or iPad or iPhone or something like that, it's because they were introduced to it. Like, you started off with that. Yes. I still truly believe, like, I go somewhere out. I bring my son. I will bring, like, a toy or something, like a little car or a, like, little, you know, workbook or something they can draw in. But that's it. Because for the most part... And yes, thank you to our text board. I know I sound like an old man in a rocking chair saying back in my day.
I don't think you sound old at all.
I just, like, for the most part, like, what I notice out of my son, and I feel like this would be the same for most kids, like, he's still at an age where he's just entertained by everything going on.
Yeah.
We were out to dinner last night, had our first swim lesson. I did great, Joe. Went underwater and everything without plugging my nose.
Glad to hear it.
He, you know, he did fine too. But, you know, the real important thing is that I survived.
Cannonballs.
No cannonballs were allowed in the pool, especially with me. But you know, we went out to dinner after, and, you know, he's pointing. He's, look at the sign. Why don't you have that drink? He goes, oh, a kitchen. Like, hey, oh, they're cooking on a grill. You know, they're making, like. That stuff entertains a kid. Yeah. Like, they're still...
People watching is entertaining.
Yes. They're like, looking at everything. And if, especially if it's something they've never seen before, a place they've never been, I love watching my toddler because they get amazed by the simplest everyday things.
Yeah.
Because it's still new to them. And to me, it's just kind of like, why take that away and assume that that's not going to be the case, that that won't keep them occupied automatically, which is what I feel like some people do. It's like before you even give your kid a chance to
you put the screen right in front
be,
of them.
You know, behaved by themselves, it's boom, here you go, here's the iPad, what do you want to watch or something like that. And like then, that's why I get a little worked
and
up.
And then that becomes the least. Yeah, then they want more, right? I mean, if you show a kid a tablet, well, then
there's no going back from it.
Right. Yeah.
Because obviously watching TV at the table is way better than, hey, what's on that server's tray? You know, like something like that.
Yeah. I mean, but and like you're saying, it would be difficult to start taking that away even at, you know, 5, 6, because now, well, every time I go out to dinner, I have this tablet. Why are you not letting me have this tablet now? Then it seems like later on, you know, 7, 8, that would become a huge problem at an age where a kid should know, hey, we're at dinner. Shut up.
you got like a 10-year-old running around like acting like crazy because they never just, boom, you know, learned, right? Whatever.
Right.
803-0930 to join us here on WBEN on our text board this morning. Someone said, my mom used to belt me into the chair at dinner time so I would sit still. It's tough. It's tougher at home dinner time than out, you know. We're lucky in part two because my kid's just so well behaved. Like I seriously think that there is like luck involved. Like that's how he just came out. Like
good parenting,
easy
too.
Baby.
You don't want to take credit for that?
No, because like you hear some of the stories from like we just got lucky. Like I always want to say cowlicky, you know, like the hair, but it's the cowlicky baby, and you know the crying. And so like we never had to deal with that. It's always been an easygoing kid. Which I don't want to take any credit for. Like, I think a lot of that is just, I'd say luck, but it, like, that has a play in there. So, not everyone is going to have the same experience. But at the same time, like, it's just, we really haven't had that much of an issue going outside. Like, I'll take my son out. We'll go to the bar and watch a, I shouldn't say this, maybe. But, you know, we'll go watch a soccer game.
Yeah, cut that out.
As long as there's a seat, you know, he's hanging around. We're doing, it's great. You know, he'll watch the game. You play with this one little workbook, ask what's going on, play with a straw. You know, it's like fine. At home, it can be more tricky.
So he's into the games? Like you take him out to soccer?
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he'll like ask a bunch of questions about what's going on. He always wants to see the goalie on the screen. If the goal, you know, if the shot is in the middle of, if you're watching hockey, like middle of the ice or like middle of the field in soccer, where'd the goalie go? Like, he's still there. You just can't see him on the screen right now. At home, it's a little, we're getting somewhere now, slowly but surely, to where you at least have to ask to be excused before you leave the table. And he's pretty good about that. But it is kind of tough to like keep him there instead of like having him run off somewhere and then you chase after him.
Does he have to say that his time has run out? And that
yeah, he's doing the proper etiquette one. No, I just, you know, ask. And honestly, like we could be 3 minutes into dinner and I will do, if he, you kind of get a sense if he's going to eat or not. And like, I'm not being like force him, you know, he'll eat if he's hungry.
Right.
It's not going to, you know, the food's there.
Yeah.
But if you're like 3 minutes in and he's like, can I be excused? I'll be like, yeah. Yes, nicely. Like, you know, what am I going to keep you here? Go, you know, go twiddle your thumbs in the living room or something. Like, you got to figure it out.
That's good. He knows to excuse himself. I would say that they're
oh, it's still, you know, sometimes he gets down like, hey, where do you think you're going?
Yeah, there's people our age that don't know to excuse themselves.
Do you do that as an adult? I feel like once you reach like 20 years old, you have a license to be excused. It's actually written on your driver's license. When you get your driver's license, in the fine print on the back, you might not know this. It's your license to be excused. I don't know if you have to ask anymore.
I do think it's proper to say something still. Like, hey, I'm getting up.
See, I run it. I think it's a little bit. When somebody does that and gets up and is like, I got to go to the bathroom, which I'll do.
Yeah.
Depending on the company. Like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I didn't need to know. You could just go. Like,
but it is weird if someone just gets up.
If you're in mid-conversation.
Yeah.
you want to say something.
Yeah. Like
this is a little bit different, Joe. Please don't get up right now.
Yeah, but there's something awkward, too, as well. If everyone's at the dinner table talking and everything and someone just gets up. It goes back to something we talked about yesterday. I'd rather be awkward saying something than awkward not saying anything at all. Like I said with the tip, I'd rather be awkward announcing, hey, I'm not being I'm just got to go do something instead of just getting up.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, I'll get up and leave.
Yeah.
Because I think like it doesn't need to be said. I love this right now, Tony in Kenmore. Tony, you're on WBEN. I think you're about to bring up a point that I like to bring up too.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. I have four children, and we attend a church regularly, and that's really where my kids learned how to be patient and sit for 45 minutes to an hour, and not really have many, I guess, entertainment tools at their disposal. I mean, they got a couple books in front of them, Bible or whatever, and they can look at the maps or whatnot. But that's really where a lot of my kids all four of my kids have learned to be patient.
Tony, I like the point that you bring up, and thanks for the call, because this is, I think I'm the same way. I do think that's how I kind of learned to sit down, be quiet.
Yeah.
Was because you like had to do it in church.
Right.
Or else.
Oh my gosh.
You get thrown out.
I would throw a fit at a dinner table every now and then, but I knew if I said anything at church, I would not be seen. I'd be grounded for at least a month.
And I'm always, I'm hesitant to say this because some people will definitely take it the wrong way. But it's not an insult in any way. It is one of the reasons I do like, and church, for as good as I've said, we're pretty good about the restaurant and, at home and at the table, I'm still getting there with church. But it is one of the reasons, it might even be the reason I want to take my son to church, and we do, is because I'm not overtly religious. I appreciate things in church maybe that are different than what other people do. I have my own reasons. One of them is for kids. It sounds bad saying it, but I think it is really important, much to what our caller said. It is a perfect place to teach your kid that, hey, sometimes you just have to sit here and sit through something you don't want to, because no kid wants to be in church. Sometimes you just have to sit there for an hour and listen and do something you don't want to do and be quiet and take it.
Yeah.
And then after, you can have pancakes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's like, and I know people take the wrong, well, no, church, you should be getting this out of church. Listen, I've seen the churches around Western. Be happy we're in the pews.
Yeah.
This
great point.
It is a great teaching tool. Like, there's nothing bad about saying that is an added benefit of going to Mass on Sundays, is to have, so like the caller said, you have your kids there, you can't talk, you stand up, you sit down, sometimes you might even kneel, keep quiet. You can twiddle your thumbs. You can look through the books that they have on the back of the pew. And we're going to sit here for an hour. We're going to be quiet. You're not going to like it, but you're going to do it. And I just think that there's a real benefit to that, like, discipline. Like, kids don't get sent off to military school when they're bad anymore. Like, it's just like that is the little mini version of it that we still have in society.
Yeah, I agree. Now, does your church do the children's minute at the front of the church?
Yes.
That was my favorite part as a kid, because then you could run down.
I never did that when I was. I didn't like that when I was a kid. I just want to sit down and be here. Don't bother me.
I like being in front of people. I'd go.
Act out. You want to read something? Yeah. Add your own little twist to it.
Yeah, yeah.
See if they catch it.
Do that. act in the annual Christmas play that they would put in front of church.
Church is bad though for like it's tough to. Maybe my son's just a little too small, maybe in a year or so he'll get it a little bit more, because, like, inside church, it's still a inside a restaurant, you can kind of like correct behavior.
Yeah.
You know, hey, don't do that. Like, don't. In church, like, you're all trying to be quiet. Like, yeah. I can't constantly be doing, like, stop, sit down, calm down.
Is it a snack?
Read the book. Or something. Like, yeah, like, I, you know, maybe in a year or something.
Yeah.
But, like, now we reach the point, and we bring, like, he's got, like, a turkey sandwich, and, like, he's eating lunch, and which is, it's fine. Eventually, I do want to get to the point of torturing your kid through church and making him sit there.
I get
there.
What you're saying.
But we're not quite there yet, and I'll take, when he starts, like, getting kind of crazy and, like, getting antsy, which is what toddlers do, I'm like, all right, I take him in the back. There's a back room with a bunch of couches, and I just run them.
Yeah.
Like, run from this couch to that couch and back. High knees, do the kick your butt one, like he's stretching before a Bills game.
So at my church, you would do, like, the first 30 minutes, and then you go to the children's message, and then they'd say, all right, kids out of here.
They kicked him out.
Yeah.
My grandma and grandpa's church was, like, down in Wales. They were like that. That was, you'd sit there for a while. They had, I mean, you want to talk about, that was a two-hour-long mass. Ooh. I mean, that was a, I don't know the name of the church, but that was a long, like, you'd do what you said. You know, they'd kick the kids out. You go to, like, the little Sunday school.
Yeah.
They'd do their whole little thing. Then you'd come back, and there was still a lot of time left church.
That would bother me. So my church, growing up, it was an hour service, right? Everything done in an hour. And if it ever went over, and it was a Sunday,
people would walk out
during NFL season, and I saw 12:05, 12:10. Like, what are we doing here? You know, I knew I couldn't say anything, but I'd be like, you know, twirling my finger, like, we gotta go.
See other people doing the same thing?
Well, there was a guy in my church who was in the choir and had season tickets. He'd only come for the first half hour of church and then bail out at 11:30.
Make an appearance. Yeah. Irish goodbye. Larry, you're on WBEN. Larry, what's going on?
Hello?
Are you with us? Can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah, I got you. I just wanted to let you know about how Dad got us kids. There was four of us back in the 50s and 60s. We've been screaming for a half an hour, 45 minutes. He would sit us down on his lap, and this started at age about a year old, and we watched the news with him. And if we tried to get off his lap, he just held us there. And that guy was strong.
Especially when you're two.
And yeah, exactly. Well, we were about a year when he used to try this. And he just, if you didn't behave yourself in the first half hour of news, you watched the second half hour of news.
Oh, no.
And believe me, within a week, every kid was broke. And everybody would say, how do you have such well-behaved kids in school? Walter Cronkite.
Hey, Larry, thank you. That's pretty interesting. I don't know if there was any ever anything like that in the house growing up.
I was always forced to sit through the news, no matter how I acted. The first TV my parents put in their kitchen, Peter Jennings was on every night at 6:30, no matter what. I could be well-behaved. That channel's not changing.
I'm wondering if, like, there's a... Because at what point do you really remember anything? Like, even when you're, like, 6 years old, could you tell anything that happened under the age of three?
No.
Like, I'm not sure. So, like, maybe, like, that's the time you do that. You're watching Walter Cronkite. You're sitting still. And then, like, when you're five, it's like, oh, I don't know how I just sit still.
Yeah.
I don't remember the, you know, month long of being strapped to the chair in front of CBS.
Right. Tortured through two half hours of news.
Someone else, all right, on our text board, we were able to come back from the tablet. My son smashed it on the floor, and we told him that was it. You don't have it anymore. Now he brings books everywhere, and it's totally fine. Like, that's the other thing. Like, we go, you know, he likes books because you give him a bunch of books.
Yeah.
Like, kids, again, not every kid is the same, but I go in with this attitude of, like, kids like anything. I'll give them, you know, an empty water bottle. He'll find a way to make it entertaining. For you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
You don't have to, like, modern screen technology or, like, the craziest whatever. I don't know. I feel like a lot of times you can, like, throw a clicker without the batteries in front of them and just be pressing away, like, figuring out something crazy to do with it.
I'll tell you, that my nephew, if you get, he likes the remote. And not the toy remote that his parents gave him. He likes the real remote.
Oh, yeah.
So you take the batteries out. When we were at the beach, he found the remote that turned the TV. I go, oh, hold on. I got to fix that. And I took the batteries out, and he was having a ball with it.
Yeah, my son would take the remote. We gave him one without the batteries, but he pretended it was a phone and then look right at you. Hello? And I go, hi, how are you? Figuring out how the phone works. But, you know, I don't know. To each their own. It's like you don't want to ever be too hard on people for, you know, what they do.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know anything about them.
No.
You don't know what their situation is. I always, like, cringe the tablet at the table. I do think that there is a real benefit, and I feel like a lot of teachers out there would probably agree, to, you know, raising a kid through just, like, a little bit of misery every week. And, you know, again, not saying church is misery, but to a 3- and 4-year-old.
Yeah.
It's not the most exciting thing in the world.
No offense to church, but we've all been there as a 3- and 4-year-old. And yeah, it's something to adjust to. I would play tic-tac-toe on the back of the offering sheet.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's something, you know, here, you're going to sit here.
Yeah.
You're going to be quiet, and you're going to do it until that time runs out. And if you do, pancakes at the end.
That's right. always a good payoff. All right. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow, just at different times. Have a great weekend. David is next here on WBEN.